Hello everyone, this is Akila, your training partner in UGC English Preparation. In this audio lecture, I'm going to discuss about Sylvia Plath. So let's get started with today's audio lecture. Before we move on to the details of Sylvia Plath, let us discuss the confessional poetry. Confessional poetry, the term coined by M. L. Rosenthal while he was reviewing the books of Robert Lowell, Life Studies. Robert Lowell Life Studies was published in the year 1959. The group of confessional poetry includes Lowell, Annie Sexton, Sylvia Plath, and W. D. Snodgrass. So what are the traits of confessional poetry? First one, these poets, they talk about intimate subject matter. They focus on subject matter once considered as a taboo topic, such as drug abuse, sexual guilt, alcoholism, suicide, and depression. These topics were discussed openly from poets' point of view or sometimes reflecting the life of poets. Private experiences with the feelings about death, trauma, depression, and relationship were addressed in this type of poetry. I is used more than you. This is a very special feature of confessional poetry. Now let's move on to the details of Sylvia Plath. Sylvia Plath was an American poet, novelist, and short story writer. Born in Boston and studied at University of Cambridge, she married the fellow poet Ted Hughes in 1956, and they lived together both in United States and in England. They had two children, Freda and Nicholas, but Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes got separated in the year 1962. Plath was clinically depressed for most of her adult life and was treated multiple times. She committed suicide in the year 1963. Plath is credited with advancing the genre of confessional poetry. In 1982, she won a posthumous Pulitzer Prize for her collection of poems called The Collected Poems. Now, let's move on to the works of Sylvia Plath. The first poetry collection, The Closes and Other Poems, published in the year 1960. The poem was first published in the anthology and it consists of 44 poems. The title is taken from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. The poem is a reference to legendary bronze statue of Apollo at Rhodes. The theme of the poem is mourning for her father. She compares her father with a huge statue, a remnant of a fallen god. In fact, it is not the loss of the body of her father that matters to her, but the loss of psychological security. She tries to recover her lost security by trying to tend to the fallen statue. Means she is trying to repair the fallen statue. The tone of the poem is that of a loss and mourning. Next poem is The Disquieting Muses, which was published in 1957. This poem is a good example of the theme alienation. It depicts a non-communicative mother-daughter relationship. Plath wrote this poem getting inspired by the painting of Giorgio Di Chirico, Giorgio Di Chirico. The Disquieting Muses was a painting done by Giorgio Di Chirico, and Plath was inspired by this painting, and based on that she wrote this poem. There are three muses in the poem, and these three muses are depicted as inhuman and haunting. The poem is addressed to the mother. It opens with a stanza where the speaker blames her mother for bringing her with sinister elements from early infancy. The speaker goes on to portray in the second stanza the idealistic world of a child that the mother is supposed to establish for the children. In short, we can say now the speaker is complaining about the mother because she didn't take care of the child, in the early childhood, and that reflects or that affects the psychology of the child. There are four people who wrote poems based on a painting. So first one is Disquieting Muses. As we know, it is done by Sylvia Plath and it is based on the painting Giorgio Di Chirico. The next poem is Stormy Night, which was written by Annie Sexton, and it is based on the poem, based on the painting Stormy Night by Vincent van Gogh, V-A-N-G-O-G-H. The third poem is Morning Picture, M-O-U-R, NING, Morning Picture. And the poem was written by Adrian Rich, ADRIENNE, Adrian Rich. But the painting was done by Edwin Romanzo Elmer. The fourth poem is Musée Dixbierks, and it is a painting done by Bruegel, and the poem written by Auden, W.H. Auden. Now we shall move on to the next poem of Plath, a short poem, that's Life. Life is about a woman in the hospital, and she was admitted in the hospital after her suicide attempt, and she is now staring at a painting and looking at the immovable, happy inhabitants within. The next work is Mirror. Mirror personifies, means like here, the poem personifies a mirror that spends its time staring at the wall across from it. A woman frequently looking into the mirror, but is distressed and overwhelmed by her reflection because she got upset because she watches, means the mirror is watching the lady growing old. Over the years, the woman has drowned a young girl in the mirror, and now she sees in her reflection an old woman growing older by the day. This older woman rises towards her out of the mirror like a terrible fish. That is, the old woman now looks like a terrible fish. The next poem is Child. Child is a poem directed to Plath's child, expressing delight in the baby's new experiences. One more poem is Cinderella. Cinderella, a retelling of the fairy tale. Plath's adaptation focuses on the moment in which Cinderella hears a clock chime midnight as she dances with the prince. Means the moment the clock strikes at the midnight. She is overcome and clasps him tightly. That is, Cinderella overcome and clasps the prince tightly. This is a poem, Cinderella. The next poem is Metaphors, and it's a very short poem. The poet describes a state of pregnancy. The nine lines correspond to the 9 months of pregnancy. Each line possesses 9 syllables. The woman is now uncomfortable and alienated by her large body, refers herself to an elephant and as a melon walking on 2 tendrils. The second poetry collection of Sylvia Plath is Ariel, which was published in the year 1965. And this book was published 2 years after her death by suicide. There are some famous poems in this collection: Daddy, Lady Lazarus, Tulips, and Ariel. First, let's start with Daddy. The speaker of the poem begins with an angry attack. She begins with a kind of conclusion that you does not do anything more. Means the father has done enough damage to her and she does not want him to do anything more. She calls him a black shoe. She says that she has lived in that black shoe for 30 years. She is not able to breathe properly and she expresses her pain. Now the speaker directly addresses her daddy and tells him that she always wanted to kill him. She calls him a heavy man as big as San Francisco seal, that is a large sea animal. She always wanted to get him back and kill him again and again. She expresses her hatred against the Germans and identifies her father with him. She sees her father's image in the Nazi soldiers, the Germans under Hitler. He is a symbol of atrocity and genocidal tyranny. She can never talk to such a man. The next is an image of an engine, a roller, which the German army used to roll over the people in Polish towns during 1941. She adds that she feels like she herself is being crushed by the engine. She says that she is like one of the Jews who are crushed or tortured to death, that one in the concentration camps of Hitler. She even speaks that she is a bit of a Jew. She says that she has killed 2 men, that is her daddy and his ghost. And ghost here is like a vampire, which is a blood-sucking ghost. And this ghost drank her blood for 7 years, which shows that at the age of 7, that is at the age of when Sylvia Plath was the age of 7, her father died. She tells her to her daddy and adds that he can now go and rest forever. The next poem is Lady Lazarus in this collection. This collection, Ariel. And it is known as one of her Holocaust poems. The poem begins on a real plane. I have done it again. Sylvia Plath has made another suicide attempt after the 10 years of the previous one. Then she goes on to describe the situation, focusing especially on her body first. She is 31 and she has attempted 3 times of suicide. She finds it really boring to attempt it again and again, and also irritating when a crowd of people surrounds to see her after the failed attempted suicide. The poem alludes to the mythological bird called the Phoenix. The speaker describes her unsuccessful attempts at committing suicide not as failures but as successful resections, like those described in the tales of the biblical character Lazarus and the myth of the Phoenix. By the end of the poem, the speaker has transformed into a firebird, effectively marking her rebirth. The next poem is Tulips. Tulips is a first-person poem, and it is about a woman recovering from an unknown operation in a hotel room. She only wanted to lie in her bed and be empty, free, and peaceful, but now the tulips which was kept by her side is disturbing her. She used to be alone in the room, but now the tulips share her space, watching her and eating up the oxygen in the room. The air in the room used to be calm, but now agitated and loud because of the tulips. She feels like they are watching her, torturing her, stealing her air. Then gradually, even those dark, painful thoughts fade away as she focuses instead on the calm rhythm of her own heart. This is her experience with tulips in the hospital. The next poem is Ariel. It depicts a woman riding her horse in the countryside at the very break of the dawn. The poem begins with a complete immobility in the darkness while the rider waits on the horse. The rider is God's lioness. She experiences the sensation of becoming one with a horse in a powerful entangling of knees and heels. She compares herself to Lady Godiva, who rode naked upon her horse. The rider is now a potent arrow, as well as a dew that flies suicidal. It details ecstasy and personal transformation that occurs through the experience while she was riding the horse. This is almost like an autobiographical, and Sylvia Plath used to ride horses, especially in the morning time. The next poem is Contusion. The poem uses bleak images of doom and finality to create a haunting mood of resignation. The next poem is Edge. Plath's final poem describes a dead woman as perfected. She delights in finding an edge after traveling so far and has 2 dead children coiled up within her. This poem seems to be the view of her commitment to suicide. Cut is the next poem. The speaker accidentally slices her thumb with a kitchen knife. Initially, she was excited by the pain and the spectacle of her blood and skin. She eventually feels woozy and takes a painkiller. This poem is a reference to Cuban Missile Crisis. And final work, which is an autobiography of Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar, which was published in 1963. This novel was published under the pseudonym Victoria Lucas. It is one of Plath's darker works, since she committed suicide a month after its 1963 release. It is semi-autobiographical and contains many elements from Plath's own life and struggle with mental illness. The story is all about a depressed young woman, and she is the protagonist of the story, Esther Greenwood. Esther Greenwood is a talented young college student and now working as an intern at a fashion magazine in New York. Although Esther should be having the time of her life, she feels a lot of anxiety and keeps thinking about the Rosenbergs, who will be executed this summer for espionage. Rosenbergs, Rosenbergs. Esther frets about how terrible by electrocution must be. That is, Esther is randomly disturbed by different thoughts and things happening in the society. Now, the next part of the novel focuses on Esther, who is staying now at Amazon, an all-female hotel, along with 12 other magazine interns. Her co-workers include Doreen, Doreen, and she's a sarcastic society girl from the South, and another co-worker, Betsy, Betsy, a Kansas girl. Both Esther and Doreen go out for drinks with 2 young men. Esther now thinks about her former boyfriend, Buddy Willard, BUDDYWILLARD. Esther turns down his proposal because she does not wish to get married. At the magazine, means after her, means while she was working with a magazine company, she come to know that she was not accepted to a writing course at Harvard. And after that, you know, she got really depressed. And due to her worsening depression, once again, she started to seeing the doctor, Dr. Gordon, who is a psychiatrist. And during the psychiatric session, Esther blurts out with Dr. Nolan that she hates her mother, beginning to realize that some of her problems stem from her mother not giving her the space she needs to find herself. She learns that Joanne, J-O-A-N, another patient that she befriended, hanged herself shortly after being released from the hospital. Esther attends Joanne's funeral. Esther tries different methods of suicide, repeatedly saved and sent to hospital. Finally, she overcomes, re-emerges, and later becomes great writer. The main themes of this novel Bell Jar are mental illness, identity, female sexuality and sexual liberation, women's role in society, freedom and confinement. Esther describes the depression she experiences as a bell jar from which she cannot escape. Her depression stems from anxiety over her future and the limited choices that women have in life. The opening lines of this novel: it was a cool, sultry summer, the summer they electrocuted the Rosenbergs, and I didn't know what I was doing in New York. That's the end of works of Sylvia Plath. Now we come to the last section of this audio, that is discussing the possible questions. The first question: in the Bell Jar, in what year does the novel begin? The novel begins in the year 1953. The second question: Sylvia Plath was married to? The correct answer is Ted Hughes. Third question: Sylvia Plath is known as confessional poet. Who else among the following belongs to the same category? And the correct answer is Robert Lowell. The fourth question: the only novel that Sylvia Plath wrote was called? The correct answer is Bell Jar. Fifth question: how old was Sylvia when she had her first poem published? The correct answer was, she published her poem when she was 8, and she started to write prose, that is Plath started to write her prose at a very young age, and it was published in the children's section of the Boston Herald. The sixth question: true or false? The character Buddy in the Bell Jar is based on Ted Hughes, who was Sylvia's spouse from 1956 to 1963. They are asking whether this statement is true or false. Actually, the correct answer is false, because the character Buddy is based on Dick Norton, D-I-C-K-N-O-R-T-O-N, Dick Norton. He was a Yale senior who she had dated in her junior year. During this time, she didn't meet Hugh, so the answer was false. The seventh question: in several poems, including Lady Lazarus and Daddy, Plath used the Holocaust as a metaphor. Why? The correct answer was, she used Holocaust as a metaphor to symbolize oppression. When she refers to someone else as a Nazi, she usually signifies herself as being a Jew, thus suggesting that she feels heavily oppressed by them. Eighth question: in 2006, a previously unpublished Plath poem called Enui, E-N-N-U-I, was discovered. What structure did the poem take? The correct answer was, the structure of the poem was sonnet. Ninth question: in which of the following poems does Sylvia Plath talk about her poetry? The correct answer was Stillborn, S-T-I-L-L-B-O-R-N. 10th question: how many poetry books did Plath publish in her lifetime? The correct answer was 1. The poetry collection was entitled The Colossus and Other Poems, which was published in 1916. The second poetry collection, Ariel, was published posthumously. 11th one: when Sylvia Plath published The Bell Jar in 1963, what name did she publish it under? The correct answer was Victoria Lucas. 12th question: in which of the following poems does Sylvia not mention children? The correct answer was Electra on Azalea Path. AZALEAPATH. Electra on Azalea Path is based on Platts visiting her father's grave for the first time. 13th question. Tulips was written after receiving some flowers during a stay in hospital. Why was she in hospital at that time? The correct answer was appendectomy. 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 Sylvia Plath was hospitalized for this reason. The 14th question. This is the end of the audio lecture. All right, now you have a lot of information to observe. So feel free to replay this audio clip to get thorough with the topics. Stay motivated and have fun learning English literature. This is Akila signing off. Until the next audio lecture, goodbye.